This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
We are very, very lucky that on important law enforcement matters, we're able to chat with this man. Jimmy Galliano has been with us for years. His decades of work with the FBI. He's just a spectacular guest. Jimmy, like all of our guests on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Jimmy, normally I read the FBI resume. I want you this time, give people just a synopsis of your work with the FBI as we delve into this topic right here, because I think you can lay it out better than me, and I normally do it, but go ahead, tell people what the FBI, you know, what the FBI has been to your life and your time with it.
Well, first of all, Chad, good to join you. I'm always uncomfortable when people do the readout on me. But no, I spent 25 years in the FBI. I was lucky, blessed, and privileged. Most of my career was in the New York City office, working violent street gangs and organized crime and white collar matters, a little bit of everything. Spent time running the New York City's FBI office SWAT team. Spent time on the FBI's hostage rescue team down at Quantico, Virginia, and spent time overseas in Afghanistan, attached to JSOC units and helping out from an FBI perspective, and also in Mexico City as a legal attaché. So very lucky and privileged, but it gives me a kind of a broad-based background, but also the thing that I must not have been good at any one thing, because I did so many things. So it was probably because, there were better people to do the jobs after me, but... Anyhow,
thank you for what you did, too. Yeah, a lot of experience to jump into this. When we all knew that Donald Trump won, and he won decisively, it was not close, he was going to pick people he believed in. When you now know that Kash Patel is the head of the FBI and Dan Bongiorno is the number two person, as someone who just laid out all your levels of experience in the FBI, what is your reaction to those two at the top?
Sure. So let me describe the way that people view the FBI, and it includes people like me that are retired FBI agents or former FBI agents, and I talk to a lot of them on a daily basis, as well as talking to the folks that are current on boards. And here it is. The two extremes, and we always have extremes, right? They're the folks that want to continue to whistle past the graveyard and go, there's nothing wrong with the FBI. This is just Trump and the MAGA cult. Don't believe any of the hype. On the other end, you have the equal but opposite extreme that says the FBI must be destroyed. It is a testament to the deep state. Blow it up. Don't leave anything even remotely recognizable. The vast majority of us in the FBI currently or outside the FBI, and smart people that weren't in the FBI but are looking at this with a sense of measure and a sense of balance, are between the 20-yard lines. And we look at this and say, there must be reforms. Now, I know you're leading me up to, hey, Jimmy, what do you think about the fact that he appoints as the number one, Kash Patel, somebody that's written a book and said some exceedingly hyperbolic things, and then followed by the appointment of Dan Bongino? Well, let's look at the appointment of Kash Patel. First of all, the deputy director, Bongino's position, is not subject to Senate confirmation. Patel's was. He is the ninth FBI director Senate confirmed in the 117-year history of the FBI. The four FBI directors that I worked under, okay, I worked under almost half of all the FBI directors in the Bureau's 117-year history. Director Sessions was confirmed unanimously by the Senate. Director Free was confirmed unanimously by the Senate. I believe Director Mueller was either 98-2 or 98-1. I believe Director Comey was 98-2, and I believe Director Ray was 95-3. Kash Patel was confirmed strictly along, obviously, party line vote, with the exception of Murkowski and Susan Collins, who are reliable swing votes. He was confirmed 51-49. Look, he's a flamethrower. He suggested he's not going to be that. He's going to be measured and smart in how he conducts a reform. But it's going to be a wait and see from me. I'm agnostic until I can see what he does and if he holds truth to the promises that he made during the confirmation hearing.
Yeah, listen, I know a speck as much as you know about this. I just look at two individuals, and it's not even as much the flame throwing. It's just the lack. Neither has worked for the FBI. And I read these accounts, and I've listened to you for years about how important it is to be willing to have the hard look. So if they want to come in and make changes, I'm not against making changes. I want them to be surgical and not with the bludgeon. But when the number two guy forever, and when I've read these stories, has always had plenty of experience and runs the day-to-day operations, and Bongino has none of that experience, and then Kash Patel, while he does have some DOJ experience, I don't want to dismiss that, right? That is just a fact. But he hasn't headed the FBI. Just having the two with no experience, I don't know how that doesn't give us some pause.
Yeah, it's very well said. I ascribe to the make the reforms with a scalpel and not with a cudgel. Now, to talk about bona fides and to talk about backgrounds, and you're right, Patel was a public defender. He worked on, you know, we have an adversarial court system. He worked on the side of public defense. He was also a prosecutor in the DOJ. He was also in some fairly senior high positions in the Department of Defense as the chief of staff, as well as in the Department of National Intelligence for the director of national intelligence in the first Trump term. What concerns me is your point. The number two should always be a brick agent. That's the parlance we use for somebody that's worn out shoe leather, knocking on doors and conducting investigations. To see it be somebody from outside of the agency is exceedingly unsettling. And that's not to speak to some of the crazy, you know, overly hyperbolic. They're not hyperbolic. They're bordering on lunatic comments that he's made. Now, I'll say this about Mr. Bongino, Chad, to be fair. He served in the NYPD in the 7-5 precinct. That's Brownsville, Brooklyn. I've worked there as an FBI agent. That is a tough post. He was also in the United States Secret Service for, I believe, 13 years. I'm not sure how high he rose in the ranks. But your point is, again, well taken. He has no idea about the day-to-day operational mission of the FBI. He's never worked counterterrorism. He's never worked counterintelligence. You know, he might have worked violent street gangs and things like that in the NYPD, and that's fair. But the FBI conducts complex investigations related to things that you need somebody in the number two position that's got that oversight, that operational oversight and expertise. And unfortunately, I don't think that happened.
Jimmy, if I just squeeze in a 2-minute break, can you hang for just a little bit longer?
For you, my friend, it's been too long since we've talked. I absolutely will.
I appreciate it. Jimmy Galliano, 25 years of FBI experience. You hear his insight. You know, he's given us facts. He's given us background. He's telling the truth. He's not here just to besmirch people right away. He's laying out what is going on. and answer my questions on the concerns I have with Patel and Bongino. I want to give one of the quotes from Bongino and see what Jimmy has to say about this, because if Jimmy believes there should be a surgical approach to making some changes with the FBI, to me, I hear him loud and clear. What should those be? Back with Jimmy Galliano on the FBI in moments on CCO.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We continue our conversation with Jimmy Galliano, 25 years of FBI experience. We're talking about Cash Patel and Dan Bongino, number one and number two in running the FBI. Here's one of the quotes from Bongino when, okay, he has a Fox News show. He is paid, and he's both of these individuals are intelligent. I'm not questioning that in any way. And he is paid to be provocative. He's paid to be compelling. He's paid to be interesting and to get a reaction. This is part of what he said when the FBI had searched the former, now present president's Mar-a-Lago home. The FBI is lost. It's broken. It's way past time to clean this FBI house up. They have burned every last shred of faith and trust freedom-loving Americans had in it. How difficult is it then, Jimmy, to be the number two guy when you said that such a short time ago about the organization you are now going to run on a daily basis?
Jed, you picked one of the more benign quotes of his. I thought you were going to go with the full on some of the really, really. And again, yeah. In fairness, and your point is well taken. He was a radio talk show host. He's got a podcast now. He had a Fox News Channel show. However, that's going to be hard. It's similar to what Director Patel. That's who he is now. Director Patel. Yeah. Said in his book where he had an enemies list there. And one of the things he said, and I know it was a flippant kind of, glib comment, but on a podcast, he said that the FBI's seventh floor, which is where the director, the deputy director, and all the assistant directors sit, they basically run the bureau. It's a centralized, top-down organization. He said that on the first day that he's in that position, if he was ever there, he would turn the seventh floor into a museum to the deep state. Well, now he's there, and it's like being a politician, except you can't be a politician. You know, you make promises, and you can't make good on them. So Yeah, it's going to take some time for the two of them to build that trust and confidence up in the 38,000 employee ranks and the 12,000 FBI special agent ranks. It's not going to be easy to do.
Are we as safe today as we were under Christopher Wray's leadership?
Absolutely, undeniably, undoubtedly, yes. Nothing is going to change. The programs are the same. The BRIC agents, the intelligence analysts, the professional support personnel, the FBI agents, they're all still doing their jobs. And look, the FBI's mission, you know, adjusts slightly here and there over time, but they're still going after the People's Republic of China for stealing military and state secrets and intellectual property. They're still going after Al-Qaeda and terrorists that are trying to harm us here and abroad. They're still going after mafia and gangbangers and pedophiles and white-collar criminals. So that will not change. I have heard through channels, and I think I can say this isn't top-secret information because it's been spoken about publicly, that the director's plan is to relocate somewhere upwards of 1,000 personnel from FBI headquarters back to the field. Now, that happened also under Director Louis Free, who was the FBI's fifth director and came on board, I believe it was in 1993, and he did the same thing. He did a house clearing. He sent some of the folks that were sitting behind desks as FBI supervisors back to the field. We have 55 field divisions across the nation, and we're in some 63 different embassies across the globe. So he'll find homes for them out there doing work as opposed to managing cases. You're going to ask me, Jimmy, what needs to be done on day one?
Yes.
We've got to get away from the big mistake that was made during Crossfire Hurricane, where you had the centralization of command in the Bureau operating cases, you know, the Peter Strucks and the Lisa Pages. I'm sure those names are familiar to your listeners. Oh, yeah. Operating cases out of FBI headquarters. Cases need to be led and managed out in the field. And I think that's something I've heard Director Patel talk about. And I know that a lot of former agents and retired agents like me have been advocating it's got to be done on day one.
All right. Let me finish with this, because during the Biden administration, there were many Trump supporters who agreed when the president said, the current president, that he was targeted, that it was a vendetta out to get him. The Biden administration would say the president's not involved. We defer either to the states, to the counties, to the cities, and to Merrick Garland. I want your thoughts on that. And also, now, for the Biden supporters who believe Joe Biden, but are now saying they're worried that the actual targeting is going to take place, what do you say to all of us about the remarkable differing views that are offered up by these groups about what they think happened or didn't happen, but just the opposite views on the key role that the Department of Justice in law enforcement is playing or did play during the Biden administration?
Well, you know, I think I'm trying to remember. I think it's Hanlon's razor. You know, there's Occam's razor, which suggests that you always take, no matter what the solutions are, you always take the simplest one, and that's what happened. Hanlon's razor applies here. And I believe, I'm going to paraphrase this off the top of my head, never chalk up to nefarious intent that which can be related to stupidity and incompetence. And I believe that, yes, there are certain things that people have a right to be upset about. Crossfire Hurricane never should have happened. And the reason why is there was not enough probable cause there to open up a full FBI investigation, no matter how many Russian, urination tapes we believe we had, or the flimsy dossier. Never should have happened. It should have been stopped. And the leadership at that time under James Comey and Andy McCabe did not make that happen. Having said that, there were also some bad people that have done some things. There was a DOJ attorney by the name of Kevin Kleinsmith, who basically was charged and criminally convicted of lying on a FISA application, you know, suggesting that somebody was not a source when they were, which was a major thing to keep that Title III, that FISA going so that, you know, people could eavesdrop on a presidential campaign. And yes, it goes the other way too. What we don't want here is for people to go, okay, it's all about vindictiveness and it's all about getting back at the tribe that you're not a part of. The FBI has to remain apolitical. And that's my only fear with putting two people at the top, where the number one position is always a presidential appointment. He's got to act apolitical. But the number two is supposed to be someone that says to the emperor, guess what? Those aren't invisible threads. You're naked. You can't do this. You got to stay between the white lines here. That's why I hope, and I know hope is not a plan, Chad, I hope that they surround themselves with smart people, smart agents, smart professional support employees, and they do the right thing. Get the FBI back on track. It pains me that the favorability ratings for the FBI are south of 50% in poll after poll after poll. The agency does great work, but 1 or 2% of, you know, bad apples or mistakes, and some of these are self-inflicted wounds, they ruin the perception of our American public. And Chad, now more than ever, with the threat matrix that's out there, we need the FBI.
100%. I mean, I'll just one last thing. Again, I don't doubt the intellect of the two individuals, and I don't doubt that there will be incredibly smart people around them. But Jimmy, I see no proof at all from the last 3, 4, 5 years that either individual is going to stand up to Donald Trump. I mean, why should any, if they're objective, let's just put it this way. If they just detest Trump, then they're going to believe everything bad. But if someone is objective and they want to believe that the FBI has to be objective and they have to believe it comes from the top, why should they believe Patel and Bongino will stand up to Donald Trump?
So here's my nuanced needle threading. And still, I'm going to make declarative statements here. I was one of 51 retired FBI agents that signed onto a letter that went to Senator Grassley, went up on the Hill, and a portion of it was read during Cash Patel's confirmation hearing, saying that I supported him for the number one spot. I believe the FBI needs a course correction, and that political appointment, that position, I believe that he would be the right man for the job. I also argued that the number two position should not be somebody from the outside and should not be one of the president's loyalists. This tells me, as the old investigator in me, Chad, this tells me that the president, you know, is not the FBI director's boss. The FBI director, yes, works in the executive branch. Yes, he's appointed by the president, but he works for the American people. And it tells me, and I have no inside information on this, let me state that up front, that this was not Mr. Patel's pick. This was the president's pick.
Yes.
And that right there says a lot, because your number two is the most important pick you can make as a director, is a deputy director. That gives me pause.
You are tremendous to us. Thank you so much. You're so good at this. I know you're busy. You're a mayor. You got so much going on. Thank you so much. Have a great day, and we'll reach out not too far down the line.
Chad, we'll talk again. It's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Jimmy Galliano, right here on Newstalk 830 WCCO. Jamie is here. She's on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Remember last week we both said, we're going to fly. We're fine. It's terrible what's happening. It's remarkable. You know how nobody died with the plane landing upside down. I mean, is it every day now that we have some drama?
I mean, it does feel that way. I will say I did get on an airplane Friday, and I came back on an airplane Sunday, and all went well from Portland to LAX. So, you know, just got to cross your fingers and hope for the best, I guess.
I'm hoping for a little bit more, but I understand that philosophy. We had the Delta flight yesterday with smoke, but now today at Midway, okay, seriously, the people listening right now who've flown into Midway, it's a high percentage where a Southwest Airlines flight is about to land. I mean, it's feet from landing. And wait, here comes a small plane. I got to zoom and go straight up in the air really quick.
Oh, I know. I know. The video's not pretty. That the smoke in the cabin, too, in Atlanta or Columbia, wherever it was in the Southeast yesterday. That was another one that you're like, I don't know how those people all remained as calm as they were.
Yeah. I mean, just, you're right. I mean, but the Southwest flight, I portrayed it accurately, right? It's feet from landing, and it's about to, in car parlance, T-bone a private plane, which is like, what am I doing? I'm just crossing this particular runway, and thank God this Southwest pilot and the crew did such a great job.
I know. Well, you know, that's where I say cross your fingers and hope for the best. The pilots are having to do a little bit more than that, but, you know.
Oh, Dave, should that be the new – should we call Delta Airlines and say, we got a new marketing idea, Delta. Our friend Jamie Yukis gave it to us. Cross your fingers. We hope we all get there.
Yeah, you used to fly the friendly skies. No, no, no. We're done with that. Cross your fingers, say your prayers. Good luck to you.
Exactly.
Right?
Oh, my. Yes. Yes. And again, if I, after the show, was hopping on a plane, I would do it every single time. I would.
We have a trip coming up at the end of end of March, early April for my stepson's spring break. I fully intend to get on that flight. You know, it's like if you actually look at the statistics, because the CBS confirmed actually looked at some numbers and found that in actuality incidents are actually down this year. So I do think what happens sometimes, Chad, is we get into this news cycle. I'm just wondering, okay, if incidents are down, did we just not play them as prominently, or maybe we heard about them, but we didn't, maybe they ran, in video one time, but they didn't end up just getting looped on everybody's feeds. And we've seen this with other things, right? Like, I think about how, remember when Scott Peterson, who's now convicted of killing his wife, Lacey, years ago, when that
huge
happened,
story.
Suddenly, we started hearing about every pregnant woman that went missing.
Yeah.
Even if it was, for 24 hours, it was like that fed the news. And I think, we've had there's other stories like that end up, happening. So I think we as a media do have a responsibility to really look at this and go, is this fully real, or is part of this just because, we're hearing about it more?
That is it's a very good question. It's one we raise a lot. It's one I wrestle with when I'm hosting the show and I'm talking about things. And yes, trying to make it compelling, but also not trying to distort and overreact. Because we have so many platforms now, Jamie, to glean this information. I mean, this flight happens, this one out of Midway, and about 5 minutes later, it's everywhere on Twitter. Or it's so we all see it so instantly. And then because we've all consumed, and obviously the flight into Toronto, that deserves every bit of all of our attention.
Oh, yes. Right? Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. Yes.
But the other ones, to some degree, they were happening, but we don't have local stations which have 5 newscasts. We don't have as many talk shows. We don't have as many podcasts. X, Snapchat, you name it. It's out there everywhere you can find it.
Yep. Yep.
All right, how about this one? Here's another travel one for you. So a couple is on a flight, okay?
Okay.
They're flying from Melbourne to Venice. Sounds fantastic, right?
Melbourne, Australia to Venice, Italy, just so I'm clear. yesterday.
Yes. The person next to him?
That's a long flight.
That is a long flight. Yeah.
It's a very long flight.
Wait till you hear this little caveat to the flight. Dave, Dave, why don't you chime in? Why don't you tell Jamie the caveat to this long flight?
Well, they had a woman next to them on the flight. Everything was going fine until about midway through. I guess more towards the back end, but still with about four hours to go. The woman died.
I heard about this. Yeah.
Woman died. The woman dies. Dies.
Yeah.
And, yeah. I mean, let's most importantly, a life was lost. Okay, that's incredibly sad. They then were forced to sit next to the deceased body for the remaining 4 hours before they had the flight transfer. They had a transfer.
Right.
What?
Right.
Jamie Yuccas, czar of all airline travel, under that circumstance, what should have happened?
I'm just trying to think. I've got a lot of thoughts in my head right now. So, first of all, I'm trying to think over Earth where, like, depending on which direction they went, there's not a whole lot of places to stop, potentially, on that route.
Right.
So that's a little understandable. And there's places you may not, security-wise, want to stop for an emergency landing. Right. So that goes through my mind. I also think, I think these airlines are packing their planes in ridiculous ways that if something like this were to happen because people die, you should have other space to maybe be able to move people or, you know, or a space to put the body. I don't think you need to keep, if we're packing these planes so tight that we have to keep people next to a body for 4 hours, that's an issue.
But I don't think they're going to turn down the revenue to reconfigure the planes to have the death zone. So in case somebody dies, we have this sealed area where we put the deceased body.
I get it. I'm just saying, there's no jump seat or there's nowhere to put these people. I don't know.
So. They also add, and Dave, you're the one who sent this to me, it was traumatic for a lot of people because they were watching the person lose her life. They were trying to save her, right? So then she's there. I mean, I thought of, Jamie, do you bring the person back into one of the bathrooms? But
that's what I'm saying.
Then you're taking the body. You don't have a sheet.
I don't know.
I mean,
there's no good. So, none of this is good. It's all bad. None of it's good.
Yeah.
Do you have anything uplifting we could talk about?
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. Again, so far we've said in a flight, good luck, you might crash. And now, good luck, you might die.
Or have to sit next to a dead person and be traumatized.
Dave Harrigan,
forever.
What do you? I've now fired Jamie as czar of all airline travel.
That's tough.
I've appointed you. What are you doing in this case?
What can you do other than every plane now needs a morgue in the back, just in case.
Yes, I don't think you can do anything.
Yeah, every flight becomes comes equipped with an air marshal and an undertaker. You never know.
Exactly. Oh my God, it's not good. Are you around? Not this Friday. Well, actually, are you around? Wait, let's the next two Fridays. Are you around? Because there might be somebody who wants to come up and see you.
Oh, really? Well, this coming Friday happens to be my husband. We're celebrating our February 29th anniversary on Friday.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So you really want me to be right in the middle of that. So sure. How about the following Friday?
We're supposed to have dinner at a friend's house, but I'm thinking about it. You and this guy who is our friend could actually end up becoming very good. You're very similar people, I'm realizing. Apparently, I collect people like you. Just depends if you come to L.A. or not.
Okay. Dave, what am I going to think about this person if Jamie thinks I'm like this person?
I think you're
not
going to be impressed.
I'm going to leave this place absolutely devastated and never want to be on the radio ever again.
You're going to find out what Jamie really thinks of you.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I really hope it's Matthew McConaughey or Bradley Cooper. I mean, if it's just some annoying guy.
Look, yeah. he does golf at the Bel Air Country Club, so you may want to, you know, hit up that relationship.
I love him already. He's like a brother to me.
Look how that turned around real quick.
Yes. Yes. I mean, so he murdered two people and he's got an extra arm. That's fine. I mean, there's no problem with that. Yeah. All right. Pretty sure that's going to happen, and I'm bringing my significant other, too. So let's
okay. Well, if you wanted to come on Saturday, you're welcome to come bowling because we're doing a big anniversary bowling celebration Saturday.
What kind of bowler is Jamie Yuccas?
I'm terrible, but I have a great time.
Yeah. Do you prefer to use... Are you a purist? Or do you want the bumpers?
What does that mean? Well, I mean, I probably should take the bumpers, but I'm a purist, so...
You're a purist.
It's fun to watch me. I have a funny little spin sometimes that gets a little crazy.
Do you do the spin? Right? Like, do you have the little hand grip on? Do you do that?
Yeah. No, I don't have that hand grip on. No. But I do have to say, my mother Karen, as a kid, she was in bowling league for years. So genetically, I should be good at this, and I'm not. I know.
You should.
I know.
Can Karen kick your butt in bowling?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Totally.
Yeah, exactly.
100%.
All right, no bowling for me. I'll reach out to you. Let's plan on the following Friday, unless we have a little rain in Fort Myers. I'll be heading up there to see you. So thank you.
All right.
Have a great day.
Bye.
Jamie Yuccas right here on CCO. What would you do if I make you now the czar of this airplane and someone dies? Really upbeat thought to think of. We're saying there's not, I mean, we're going to cover the person with a blanket, right, Dave? That's it, right?
I think that's a start.
I kind of like my bathroom idea best. You cover the person with a blanket, if they even have blankets. Half the planes now don't have blankets. And you put the person respectfully in the lavatory.
Respectfully.
I'm trying to do so.
It's hard to get in one of those things just by yourself. How are you going to get the body in there without dropping it and banging it against the wall?
I don't think it's going to be very respectfully.
No.
You know? Going to wedge it in there. And then if it's like, again, if it's your dad or mom or wife or husband, you're going to want to know how the body was treated.
Yes, you will.
Yeah. It's not an easy scenario. That's what our listeners are for. Czar, step in. 651-461-9226. Linus Construction Time Check. It's 1:55. Time to get 50% off insulation labor on clog-free LeafGuard brand gutters. Jason chiming in. What should happen? What should they do when you have a dead body right there on a plane and you're 4 hours from your destination? First class tickets for life. I'd sit by the body. I mean, it sounds like he's encouraging bodies to die on his next flight. Who cares? Not like she's contagious. They can't roll the beverage cart without crashing into everyone's knees. They're not moving a body. Now, that part is true.
Yeah.
Dave, you and Jason are very similar in your frugality. How much would you have to get in return to have a body die right next to you on the flight?
And a free drink would be nice.
Jesus.
You know, extra bag of pretzels. I don't know. You know, I can be talked into it.
Not contagious. Sounds like Jason isn't fazed at all. I mean, you going to talk to the person? Just tell. It's great for a talk show host. You can just go on and on and on and on. What if the dead body weighs 300 pounds? How do you move it? Strap the body to a rocking chair on the roof of the plane. That's Man, oh man, you need a hatch. Toss them out. Come on. Put a parachute on the body and send them out the rear hatch. People are cruel.
Yeah, it's like Harrison Ford. Get off my plane.
If over international waters you'd be able to jettison the body like a burial at sea. Am I saying that right? I don't think I'm saying that right. Am I?
I go burial.
Burial? Maybe I was saying. I don't know if we'd be as funny if it was like our mom and dad, would we?
No, I would not enjoy that.
Yeah, but like we haven't made jokes about inappropriate things before. Never from us. I know that. Susie in the news next.